Good morning, everybody. This is Frank Riccio, and I'm your host and talking about the law. And with me is attorney Abigail Williams, who is not only an attorney but also a nurse who handles medical malpractice and nursing liability cases. When we left, we were talking about the 60L letter, which is a new thing that has to be done in medical malpractice cases. And what is the purpose of the 60L letter?
Simply, the purpose of the 60L letter is to make sure that the potential defendant understands what the claim is against them, and then to give their insurance company or their attorney, it's, I think, 150 days, during which time they can make a reasonable offer of settlement and avoid the litigation process. And I know that there's a lot going on about frivolous lawsuits. As a plaintiff's attorney, I'm a little sensitive to that. But I will say that, you know, there are not a lot of frivolous lawsuits, because once you go through the 60L process, the next thing you do, you know, you wait your time, you file the case in court if appropriate, and then you still have to go through a screening process here in Massachusetts, where a judge and a physician and an attorney listen to your case, they review your expert medical opinion, and they make a determination whether or not they feel that there is sufficient evidence to warrant going forward. What I find more often is their frivolous defenses. You have a defendant dead to rights. They have done the wrong thing. They have harmed a patient. And yet, their attorney will defend them and defend them and defend them until they can't bill their insurance company anymore for a defense, and then they'll settle the case, which I think just drives up the cost of healthcare and makes everybody just sort of feel like this is not worth it.
And when we talk about frivolous lawsuits, I mean, there's a screening that goes on right at the beginning where we have to have an expert who's willing to testify against either a nurse or a doctor. And, you know, these experts are not out there as people would think. I mean, it's very hard to get another healthcare professional to testify against another healthcare professional. I take it what you're talking about, the doctor, the attorney, and the judge, is what they call the medical malpractice tribunal process.
It is. It is indeed. And, you know, it's not the highest standard, but you really need to prove that you have a reasonable, reputable person, because the plaintiffs have the burden of proof. We have the burden of going forward to just say we aren't making this up. It's not just something I think I can throw spaghetti at the wall and hope it sticks, that this is a very legitimate case.
And the screening continues, because what's next is what's called discovery. And could you tell us what discovery is in the history of a lawsuit or in the life of a lawsuit?
So once the case is filed and the tribunal says, go forth, it's a legitimate claim, there are written questions that are signed by both answered by both sides under the pains and penalties of perjury. And then there's a process of depositions, which is taking oral testimony under oath where there's a stenographer. And you learn more about your case. And the more you take all that information, give it back to your expert and say, has anything changed? Do you still feel strongly about the case? And I can tell you, in my practice, things have come up during discovery that have made me say, we're not going forward with this case. The record makes it look like the wrong thing was done. But you know what? When you listen to the physician, his decision-making was appropriate given this particular patient, and it really isn't negligence.
And, you know, you practice exactly as I do, and that the discovery process is a weaning out, if you will, if, for example, we no longer can get expert support. Now, let's look at a lawsuit, and the case's discovery has gone forward, and the case is still viable. There are alternatives to a jury trial, one of which is mediation or arbitration. Could you explain that for me?
Sure. Mediation is a process where both sides want to make the case go away, and they sit down with a neutral third party. It is non-binding, and it's sort of a guided negotiation process. And at the end of that time, either the case has resolved, and when we talk about settlement through mediation, that's a process through which nobody is happy at the end of it. The plaintiff thinks they should have gotten a little more. The defendant thinks they paid a little too much. But we do something reasonable to avoid a trial, and we meet in the middle. An arbitration is a binding process where a retired judge or an attorney sits and listens to all the facts of the case. It's like a jury waived trial in a sense. And they make a determination that's binding. They will say either yes or no, there was liability, yes or no, there was an injury, and this is how much they believe the case is worth.
And I find that both mediation and arbitration are a more humane process than, say, a jury trial where somebody is in court telling their story to a group of essentially 16 strangers, because most, even though you only need 12 to deliberate in Massachusetts, most of the trials that I have done have had 16 jurors with, you know, four alternates. So it's a more humane process. Have you found that to be the same?
I absolutely have. You know, jury trials take much longer for the same amount of information. So, you know, for days on end, you are sitting there listening to arguments and evidence, and it's very hard on the family. And there's nothing worse than a family who has a legitimate case where a jury disagrees with you, and juries are reasonable people, and sometimes they disagree. And what your client hears is 16 people saying, yeah, I don't care. It's very hard.
Abigail, I know you've had some incredible training in public policy, and I'm saving the best for last. Could you tell us about the public policy benefits of bringing these types of claims?
Yes. The reason I'm in practice, and we all have different paths that got us into practice, is because I want to make healthcare safer and better. Now, one way to do that is working in a hospital as a risk manager and doing training and education, and that's a little bit after the fact. But what I found was that physicians listen to lawsuits. They read about lawsuits. They're fascinated by lawsuits. They want to know how to not get sued. And really what you're able to educate a potential jury or physicians is how to practice the best care, not just for your patient, but for patients to come. Because whatever happened to your client for whom you're advocating, you don't want this to happen to anybody else. And honestly, Frank, when people come to me, they say, I don't care if you get me money or not. Help me make sure this doesn't happen to someone else. So from a matter of public policy, it's very important to stand up and say, yo, nurses, for example, you can't hide behind the doctors. If you make a mistake, not a mistake, if you aren't negligent, if you don't practice the standard of care, and you injure a patient, you are responsible for that, just like if you run a stop sign. And you can't always hide behind another provider or institution. And you need to think about this for the next patient and be more careful for the next patient.
And I can give you a real-world example, because I've been doing this for 28 years. And earlier in my career, I saw many breast cancer cases where physicians did not do biopsies on lumps. They watched them, and typically what would happen is a breast cancer at a stage one, which is your curable stage, over the course of a year would progress to like a stage three or sometimes even a stage four, which has a much worse prognosis. But what I have found is I see less and less of those cases. And I have to think that in the aggregate, we plaintiff lawyers have made a difference. There was a time when physicians were very cavalier about lumps, and they would basically say, oh, it's a cyst. Lumpy breasts, but a diagnosis was not made. Biopsies weren't done, and the woman would end up with a more serious advanced cancer. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. The work that you've done, now we know that a palpable lump in the breast is a medical emergency and cancer until proven otherwise. That's a huge public health benefit. Patient dumping laws. Now everybody gets seen in an emergency department. They don't get dumped out to another hospital. Same course of litigation. These things are really important. Lawsuits aren't just about money. They're about public policy.
Abigail, thank you so much. We've run out of time. I want to thank you for educating us on this most valuable area of the law. Thank you so much. Next week, I believe Robert Noah will be our guest. Thank you.